I thought I'd begin with a bit of light relief. I'm told that this is a true survey. You, like me, may be sceptical. It came to me from the Archdeacon, so I guess it's got to be true. This is a survey of children and what they know about Christmas. Apparently, 52% of children thought Christmas Day is the birthday of Santa Claus. 20% identified Jesus Christ as a footballer with Chelsea Football Club. I did not introduce that. That was in there. Although I have to say, I think Jose Mourinho could be the Messiah. We have had a second coming or something. Anyway, sorry. I had to get football in somewhere. 35% believed he was born at the South Pole. 27% believed he was born in a church. It wasn't here, honestly. 25% thought the shepherds used Google Maps to find Jesus. I don't know how anyone would find him without Google Maps, but there you go. 15% claimed that the three kings gave Jesus a wand, tiaras, and wings as gifts. I suspect some of those might reside at St. Matthew's, but there you go. That's the light relief. I somehow suspect it's not just children that get the wrong end of the stick sometimes about Christmas. I think adults can too. Sometimes things are so familiar that actually we end up missing what's kind of in front of our nose, what's kind of really important. And the events of the last week, which I suspect have shocked all of us, have left me thinking about that a lot. This isn't the talk that I plan to give. Carol and I, for the first time ever, went to the Christmas markets in Germany last weekend. It's a really bad time for a vicar to go away on holiday. But my son's working in Germany, and we just couldn't kind of resist the opportunity to go out there, see him, and kind of take in the markets. And I kind of had this grand idea. I'd buy lots of things from the markets and kind of base my talk around the markets. And it was lovely. The music was amazing. I have to say, the glue wine was pretty good. There were lots of nice things to eat as well. The decorations that are made there, just absolutely stunning. And that was going to be the heart of what I was going to say. But it just feels like events have been taken over this week. The shocking murder of 141 people, most of them children, in a school in Peshawar. I'm sure I'm not alone in watching that television footage with a mixture of shock, disbelief, horror. I mean, I'm using words, but I don't know that there are words to describe it, are there really? It seems incomprehensible that people could do that to anyone, let alone do it to children. And we didn't see the pictures of what happened. We saw the bullet marks on the walls afterwards, and that in itself was pretty horrifying. I can't imagine the reality. And what is awful is that it happened in a place where, of all places, children should be safe, should flourish, in a school. And as someone that, as a person of faith, a Christian, no matter what other... What other faith? Yeah, it was the fact that it was done in the name of God somehow only adds to the horror of all of that. And it leaves me thinking, how does one make sense of the Christmas message in the light of events like that? It can seem trite. It can feel like it's escapism. It just leaves that question hanging there. Does it have something to say in the midst of such horror? And I can't imagine why you would be here tonight if Christmas wasn't important to you. Why come to a carol service if Christmas doesn't matter to you? You know, you're here because it does. It may mean different things to all of us. For some of us, it might be more about family and time spent with children and seeing kind of their love of it than what it means for us personally. It may be kind of a connection that we have as adults with a wonder we felt as children, and somehow we reconnect with that every year at Christmas time when we kind of go through our own family traditions and do things that have meaning for us. It might be about personal faith, not decorations and food. It may be about deep faith and conviction. But whatever it is, it can feel pretty shallow and superficial in the light of the horror we've witnessed this last week. And to be honest, if you don't have questions about faith or religion or God even, after a week like this, how can you not come out of it with some very big questions? How do we make sense of Christmas in the light of all of that? Seems to me, though, that the Christmas story isn't without its own share of horror. It seems to me we see in it the best of humanity and sadly also the worst of humanity. It doesn't pull its punches. We see the best and the worst of humanity, and we also see something of the heart of God. It seems to me that Mary and Joseph demonstrate amazing bravery to respond to God's command. It's not just costly. There's all the stigma of being an unmarried mother, of Joseph sticking with her. That's costly, but it's also risky. You know, they were genuinely in danger of their lives. There's amazing bravery. And it's also a story that can't just be interpreted in human terms alone. The supernatural breaks into the created order. The angels declare the wonders of God. It isn't just a human story. But it's a story that is for everyone. The first people that hear it are the shepherds, the nobodies of society on a hillside. And they leave their flocks behind on that hillside and they go in search of their Messiah. Wise men leave home and the families and they travel, I don't know how far. He only twigged when David was reading that last passage. Why did Herod kill that number, the children of that age? They were probably traveling, you know, basically, he killed the children from when the star first appeared. They must have been traveling potentially a year or 2 years to get there. They left everything to pursue what might be at the end of underneath the star. They saw something in it that caught their hearts and they couldn't stay where they were. They had to follow. And you know, all are inspirational. And actually many of them possibly echo our own stories. We may, like the shepherds, feel insignificant. We may, like the wise men, feel like we're looking for something, but we don't know quite where it is. But we just see a glimmer in the Christian story that there might be something there that would bring more meaning to our lives. It's inspirational. It is the best of humanity, but it's also the worst. There is jealousy. There are people that are power hungry. There's Herod, a king that's threatened by a baby, who will do whatever it takes to protect his position. He lies, he deceives, he even wipes out a generation of young boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. And I don't know about you, I'm a vicar, it's my job to read these stories, isn't it, you know? I lose track of the times I've been shocked when you come to this point in the Christmas story and you realise the cost of Jesus coming into the world, the enormous cost of Jesus coming into the world, that such horror could take place. Seems like a shocking end to the Christmas story. But this year we see that nothing changes. People still do whatever it takes to get power and to hang on to power, even murdering the innocent. Nothing changes. A voice is heard in Ramah, only this year it's Peshawar. Weeping and great mourning. Rachel and many mothers weep for her children and refuse to be comforted because they're no more. Yeah, sadly, not a lot has changed in 2,000 years. If Christmas is about tinsel and turkey and sentimental Christmas card scenes, ultimately, it will disappoint. It is just escapism. Christmas reveals something of the mixed motives of humanity, the treacherous nature of human hearts at times. But it also contains hope because it reveals something of God's heart. A child is born and is given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. No matter how broken or messy or at times horror-filled our world is, God doesn't sit on the outside looking in. He chooses to enter into it, to take our flesh and to live amongst us and to share in the joy and the sorrow. 2,000 years ago. But he's still there now. He's still available to us. He still wants to be near us now. God steps into our broken world and he enters into its pain and its suffering. And it says, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Even at Jesus' birth, his death is anticipated. It's not a rosy glow story. It's a serious story about God stepping into our world to deal with the worst of humanity, not just the best of humanity. To restore us to himself and ultimately to make it possible for us to be restored to each other. So yes, does this story still speak into the world in which we live? It does. Let's pray.